It's NFL Week 1, picks versus the spread. We are back. My name is Cav Manning. I am from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with your betting guru, Billy. Yesterday, we did a show, and you were on there, and you mentioned at the end when you did your plugs, you're going for the 100th month of profit?
Yeah, I'm going for 100 months of tracked profit. So that's over 8 years where I've constantly won.
So how's that going?
What, this month?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's new in the month. So, you know, how's it going so far? Are you going to hit this 100?
Oh, yeah, easily. Like, we're already 11. I haven't added it up yet because we've got all the tennis futures, mm-hmm. but every player that I said would be in it. So basically, three of the four favorites have made it to the semifinals. And I picked those three. And the other guy, I didn't like him from the very, like Tsitsipas, I didn't like him to make the semifinals. So I actually picked the one guy out of the top four that wouldn't make it there. I had money on all of the others. Sorry, I'm listening to our other podcast just came on. I had money on all of the others. Uh-huh. I've still got the winner in the men's and the winner of the women still alive. So, yeah, on the tennis alone, we're there. But we've made money on tennis nearly every single day. Like, we're carrying, like, a soccer run in from the first month into this month. And yeah, it's like it's like eight straight days of winning. Like, it couldn't have started any better. But the thing is
I would assume all your customers got to be pretty fucking how could you have a fucking complaint at this point, right?
Well, I was just going to say something about that. So the issue with this is that we've just had a ridiculous month, 73.2%. And then coming into this month, we started with eight straight winning days. So the expectation is ridiculous. And sometimes, like, it's weird. I almost prefer to have, like, four winning days or three winning days and a losing day, and like, you know, I prefer it to be a little bit more realistic, because I feel like the expectations have got unrealistic. I'm sitting here like I have anxiety over this, like, regression, because I feel like
you're a victim of your own success.
It's like, yeah, because the thing is that it comes in, it's like, you talk about it and you post these things, because, you know, you got to post things when you're on top. Like, you can't, the numbers are ridiculous. You have to tell people.
Well, yeah, every gambling site, they boast if they're winning. Of course, that's how you get your clients.
Yeah, but, like, they're boasting 56%, 57%, which are great numbers in gambling. Like, 73 is unheard of.
Yeah.
It's like I don't even know anyone that's ever done it. But I do it regularly. I did it last month. So that's the thing. You say this, you come in, you know, word gets around. My patrons are going up every month. And I'm worried about the guy that comes in, you know, on the ninth day or the 10th day. And he comes in and goes, you know, like 15 days into the month, you've had 12 winning days and 3 losing days. But he's had 3 winning days and 3 losing days. So he's thinking, what is this? Like, you know, this, I thought this was going to be free money every day, but it's not. Like, I lose some, I win some. It's like, yeah, it's gambling. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah,
like,
that's so why it's called gambling.
Right. But then what's happened is like, I have a couple of guys in my group chat, because I have a group chat for the live plays and for the top clients who have experienced this, yet a couple of them talk like they haven't just won for 8 days. It's like, I had a guy in a group go, oh, we really need to win this. I was like, why do you need to win this? Because you surely don't need anything now. Like, you surely fucking, you're taking your wife on a fucking holiday because of me. Like, at this point, like, what do you need? Do you have a drug problem? Like, are you addicted to, like, drugs and hookers? Like, what, why do you need to win? Are you a junkie? Like, I don't understand what the need is when you've got 7 or 8 days in the bank, like, of straight.
Oh, they must have
winning.
Bet $1 on all the rest of them and then said, shit,
well,
all right, well, let's.
Like, my monthly subscription has, they've made 12 times the subscription after 8 days. It's like, why do you need this one goal in this one game? And it's like, sometimes that could be the case. It's like, people get spoiled, and then the comments about, you know, when things are not even lost, like, things are precarious. So in the end, like, it looked like we were going 0-3 in soccer tonight. And we ended up going 2-1. Mm-hmm. So it's a situation where it's like, what were you panicking about? And the thing is, even if we lost every single one, who cares? Like, because, you know, you've got so, and I mean, it's not even like the 8 days. Today, earlier on, this British girl, this 18-year-old, got through to the semi-final of the US Open, and I had her at plus 250. So 5-2, that is UK price. So 40 pounds on that returns you a £100 profit. So the football match they were, like, this guy was like panicking about was a 0.4 unit stake. It was like 40% of what we'd already won on the tennis. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you're up today. So you're also going to win money today. Like you won for like 8 days, and you're also going to make money today because the girl already won the tennis match already. So it's like, you don't need this goal at all. You don't even need this goal to make money today. You're still going to make money today, even if this goal doesn't go in. So it's like, it's just stuff like that. It's just like, obviously, the expectation. And I get anxiety about it. I honestly, like, winning that much or going on these runs makes me almost uncomfortable. Where it's like, okay, how are they going to cope with the bad patch? Because even during the good patch, they're like pointing out the losers. Or, and it's like, dude, come on, like, it doesn't even need to be discussed at this point. Like, I'm all for, like, the ones that when something happens, like, you know, somebody misses an open goal or you know, do you have this thing in soccer, like the instant replay with VAR. I'm all for, like, if a VAR fucks us and some guy comes in a group and goes, that's fucking bullshit, that's all fine. But it's like, it's all this, like, willing things is, oh, I really need this, and if something goes wrong, it's like, oh, that team are terrible, or this team are terrible. Like, we got one play wrong where I said this team would get beaten, but they wouldn't get beaten severely, and they got severely beaten, and he was like, oh, my daughter's team could beat this team or whatever. It's like, what's that supposed to mean? Like, I should have analyzed that beforehand. it's very frustrating. And the other thing is that nobody will ever know. Everybody, you know, you can listen to this and go, it's an exaggeration, you're being sensitive or whatever. When you do this, when you say to people, give me a bunch of money at the start of the month, right? Yeah. Give me a bunch of money at the start of the month, and I'll turn that into more money. Just follow me. And then when you take that responsibility, you cannot, like, replicate or explain how that feels until, like, you actually do it. So they cannot put yourself in my shoes and know what it's like to take the responsibility of hundreds of people. When I do podcasts, thousands of people that are listening and saying, bet this with your money that you go and work for. Because some people, like, they're fucking, like, jobs where they're fucking stressed out. Like, sometimes, like, you know, we put out enough. We're actually very responsible with our staking. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, sometimes there will be days where we bet. I mean, what somebody may earn. So if we lose a whole day, then they worked a whole day for nothing. I know that. I'm not like these fucking idiots on Twitter where I don't actually understand that. I understand that you can go to work and you can listen to me and you can blow it. You can fucking blow it completely. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I also understand, and what people should understand, most of the time that doesn't happen. Most of the time you go to work, you have enough money to fucking take your wife out for dinner. I turn that into you taking your wife out on you're taking your wife away for a week on a holiday. Like, that's what I'm doing for you. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And that's the majority of the time. So that's the thing. Like, it, for me, it's always about, oh, if this guy or that guy has only joined my group like a day ago and somebody's like, you know, panicking about one play going down or whatever, then that's not an accurate reflection of how things have been going. And it especially panics me when we're coming to this point of the season, because NFL is about to start. I can transparently say at the start of the show, I've never been 73% in the NFL. I never will be 73% in the NFL. I won't even be close. I would take anything in the 60s or the high 50s would be amazing in the NFL, because this is fucking very, very hard. All of this fucking, you know, 8-2 and all of these ridiculous runs, things you can do in soccer, we're not going to do it in this sport. It's
too fucked up. We did very good last year. We did very good last year. Yeah,
we did. But that's the thing. Like we did very good. Now, what are people expecting us to do? To do very good again? Our very good is not the same level of what I've done. Is how I've started the soccer season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my soccer season, I started 8-2 and 8-2. So, what am I supposed to go fucking 16-4 in the NFL across the first 2 weeks? That isn't going to happen. I already tell you, it's not going to happen. This is fucking hard. Like, even when you're doing those shows that we do, where we break down who's going to have this record and who's going to have that record, they may get to the records, right?
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, the losses and wins that we picked out for them, that'll be all different. It'll be all different. Mm-hmm. Like some fucking, like Green Bay will get beaten at home by Jacksonville or some shit, which has almost happened before. I know we're not even playing.
It's true. I remember. Yeah, it was the other year. Yeah.
Do you remember when we almost lost to Jacksonville at home? Like, wasn't it last year as well?
Yeah, it was Minshew, I think, wasn't it? It was like, what the fuck is that? And we bet money on it, I remember, because we were like, God damn it, let's go already. And it took fucking forever for them to like pull out.
I don't think they covered the spread either. Like, I don't think they, I think at least the Jags covered the spread. I can't remember, but that's just an example, you know, of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my biggest losses I once had this long season play. It wasn't actually a big loss in terms of what I put down. I think it was only 500 down, mm-hmm. but it was a big, big loss in terms of what I was about to win, because I parlayed a load of shit together for a load of like easy stuff for the futures. And the last thing I needed was for the Patriots just to get through to the AFC, getting a bye to mm-hmm. get the one or two spot. I think I had the Patriots to get to a certain round or some shit like that. Well, it wasn't. It was something else. Fuck. Basically, I can't remember what the bet was, but I know I needed one last thing to happen, and it was the Patriots at home to the Dolphins. And I was in New York going to the Giants versus the Eagles with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't even paying attention to it. I was like, the Patriots are home to the fucking Dolphins. It's the last game of this like season parlay that I've got, so I don't need to, you know, that's done. Like, when's it done? I will spend the money in New York tomorrow. Like, no, nothing to think about at all. They got beaten at home. Like, this was that year. This was that fucking the last year of Brady, and everything was all good until like right near the end, and suddenly they dropped down to the. I think it was a 3 seed or something, and they ended up getting beaten by Tennessee as well.
Oh yeah, okay.
And that all stemmed from them losing the final game against.
Was that Miami that did that crazy fucking run back at the end? Like they tossed it sideways and fucking won last second.
I don't think they won last second. I think they were. I think they were like mostly up the whole time.
Because there was game that was like. They ran it back to end it. There was no seconds left, or they threw one because remember they had Gronk on defense to try to stop them, and he took a bad angle even and couldn't stop the guy running to the end zone. It was like one last fucking play.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was.
I don't know
that.
If that was the game was though. That was Brady's last fucking home fucking thing.
Wasn't his last home game because they still got home advantage in the AFC. But they were not. They were no longer the number one or two seed. They finished the season badly, and got themselves out of that. But yeah, I always fucking remember that because it was a fucking case of me just not looking at the game. Like it was one of those times where I wasn't even looking at the fucking score. It was like, oh, New England at home to Miami. Yeah, that's done. Like there's the thing is saying this now, people are like, well, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You have to really think who New England were on week 17 in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
They were not what they are now. It was completely different. They were the favorites to win the Super Bowl at going into that game. And then suddenly like they lost that game and then they lost the fucking Titans at home and they were like gone.
Yeah, that was Tom's last pass ever in the NFL. All that bullshit. Whoops, never mind.
What's his name's big game? Wasn't it Henry's like coming out game as well?
I don't know. Henry's been running wild for a while. Where could people sign up?
29th of December, 2019. Patriots 24, Dolphins 27. Yeah, that's the game. I can't see if it's the. I've got it on YouTube now. I'm trying to see if that was what the last play was. If it was anything that you're saying. Actually, Patriots are up by 4, going into the last minute of the game. Who's the quarterback here? Must be Fitz, isn't it?
It might be.
Let's have a look. What's going on here? No, they're. Oh my god! I didn't even. Do you know what? It's even worse. I probably did notice at the time. The Patriots are up by 4, with 30 seconds left. It looks like they're just moving the ball. It doesn't look like any. It's first and goal. And touchdown. Nothing weird about that. The Patriots just fucking let them score and were just terrible.
Hmm.
You don't really see that very often.
No, Miami's always one of their thorns in the side, it seems. Where can people sign up for your betting packages?
Oh, did I not say?
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, my website's called lockbetting.com. And you need to sign up now, because if you don't, you'll miss the NFL futures, because, you know, to get the prices and the over-unders and everything that we've given them out, you need to get in before week one. You also should get in now, because if you don't and you get in like later on next week, Patreon bills you for the entire month, which is fine. Like if you're signing up to like a podcast site or a porn girl or a musician or anything like that, because you just go back and consume that old content. Mm-hmm. If you go back and consume my old content, it's old gambling content of sports events that have already happened. Yeah. So it's not very, it doesn't have any
unless
value.
Unless you have a DeLorean. So, don't bother.
Exactly, yeah. If you have a DeLorean, you probably wouldn't work with Vince Russo.
Okay. So let's get into week one here, and that is tomorrow's first game. That is Dallas going into Tampa, and already COVID has claimed a victim. And this is on the defensive side, on the defensive line. I heard today that one of Dallas's guys are out. I don't think this makes a difference really in the overall winning of the game, but Tampa Bay is favored, and they are giving Dallas 8.5 points. It is a lot of points.
I got it at 8, but okay.
Okay. Maybe it's gone up since the... Do you have it in front of you? It's still 8?
Yeah, I got it at 8, yeah, okay. Right now.
It's a lot of points, man. And to start this thing off, you know what? I think I'd still take Tampa Bay for this.
Really?
Yeah. I do not trust Dallas to get into a groove for a while. And I think this place is going to be on fire. Everyone's back. They have a championship banner being raised. Tampa's hyped up. 8.5 is a lot of fucking points. But do you think Tampa Bay only wins by 7 here? Or do you think they're winning by... 14, and Dallas does that backdoor cover to make it 7.
No, I just like the Super Bowl winners here in this game usually anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs are actually coming into this 14-6 ATS in their last 20 Week One games. So I mean, obviously, that isn't relevant really to this team, particularly like this personnel, but it's a weird stat, like where you have someone, a team that perform well against the spread on week one. Dak Prescott's playing in this game. Zach Martin is the guy that's ruled out for COVID. I think the Bucs win here by double digits. I just can't see. It always sounds like a lot, like when you're getting past the smaller numbers, but you forget. It's just eight just means that Dallas can't win with the last possession, right? Yeah. That's what it means when you're up by 8. You can still tie actually,
yeah.
Right? But I mean, if you're winning by more than 8, all it means is the other team can't bite you on the ass with their last possession. Now, if you're asking me, if Dallas get the ball at the 2 minute warning, and
they're down 14.
And Tampa, well, that's what I'm saying. Is there going to be a situation where Dallas get the ball from Tampa Bay, Tampa punt the ball with 2 minutes to go, and they're allowing Dallas the opportunity to win or tie or anything? No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. Like, I think it will be more decisive than that. So, yeah, I'll take the eight.
Okay. So, so you will be on the Tampa side? You think they'll cover this?
Yeah, I just said that. Okay. Just says,
because you said you'd take the eight, so I don't know if you were saying you would take. Okay.
Oh, no, yeah, I'll take the minus eight. Yeah, well, my analysis gave it away because I don't think that the final possession of the game is Tampa giving it to Dallas and say, here you go, we need to stop you so that we don't lose this first game. No, that's not going to be the situation.
Okay. The next one here is, we get Philly going into Atlanta, and I'm actually surprised by this. On my sheet, it says Atlanta is favored by 3. Do you have the same number?
Yeah.
I think Philadelphia wins the game.
Did you have that on your initial picks, like when you were doing the over-unders for the season?
Yeah, because I think I have like Atlanta barely winning a game.
Okay.
But at the same time, Philly's on there as well, getting a lot of losses. I think Atlanta's horrible. I really think Atlanta's bad. They have their new, tight end Pitts, but they got rid of their receiver, So I'm like, I don't know. I think Philly could win this game, and I'm like, and they're getting 3. I would take Philadelphia here.
Yeah, I read somebody put on one of the analysts that I read, and they put like the Philadelphia Eagles have arguably the best offensive line in the NFC. A very good defensive front and explosive elements to their running game. So he's really like high on them, like to the point where I was reading that he thinks that they'll make it to the playoffs. They're like a sleeper pick for the playoffs. So I don't know. Really? I've not read anything like that about Atlanta. All I've read is really my take on them is that the coach is going to need a year to work out what he wants to do.
Yeah, they were talking about getting rid of Matt Ryan this last year. So it was like, oh, I'm shocked he's even there still. Like they were going to just start over because everything's done. All right. So, we're both picking Philadelphia minus the 3, getting 3 points. I mean,
yeah, I think those 3 points, they might be relevant.
Okay. This one I think is a pretty safe bet going down this list. It's Pittsburgh going into Buffalo, and Buffalo is favored by 6.5. I think they win this by more than a touchdown. Pittsburgh, as we said on yesterday's show when we reviewed, which is on this feed, by the way, if you want to sit around for 4 hours and listen to our breakdown, where Pittsburgh is just one of those teams that knows how to win. And until they start losing, it's hard to pick otherwise. So I would think Pittsburgh loses this one by more than 6.5. So I would pick Buffalo and give that 6.5 points.
Yeah, I like Buffalo at home to win a large majority of their games this year. I'm looking at them going, so it's the AFC that play less, right? AFC have got less home games, isn't it, from the 17?
AFC is home more. They have one extra.
Right. So I can see the Bills going 8-1 at home, something along those lines. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next on the docket for Fox is Minnesota going into Cincinnati. And Minnesota is only minus 3 here. They were disappointing, obviously, last year, and they should have done better. The offensive line for Cincinnati is pretty bad. So I do like Minnesota giving up only 3 points here. to Cincinnati. I would take Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the games where the schedule doesn't kick in yet. The bad schedule that Minnesota have in terms of the way it's the way it's set up for them to not really have advantage of a bye, going up against teams that are coming off byes, poor rest. Yeah, these are the issues with the Minnesota schedule as opposed to being really difficult, although everybody in the NFC North seems to get a difficult schedule, apart from Detroit. So, yeah, I think coming off the bat, you have to look at this as a game that they win. It's really early in the season, but you'd think, like, if Minnesota aren't winning games like this, then Green Bay, you can pretty much say they're going to win the North as early as one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, if Minnesota starts off like this, unless later in the year we see that Cincinnati has now won 10 games and you go, well, I guess Cincinnati was a good team, which they're not yet. They have some offensive weapons, but they just have no offensive line. So, okay, we're both going with Minnesota on this one. This next one, San Francisco goes to Detroit. In the last 2 years, Jared Goff has not beat the 49ers. And the 49ers are only -7.5 in this game. I don't want to be a spoiler or anything about our locks and whatnot. I am slam dunking this game. I think this is one of the easiest ones of the week, and I can't believe it's only 7.5 that the 49ers are giving up. I think this will be a destroying match.
Historically, just without looking at the teams, home teams getting 7 points or more in week one is usually pretty profitable in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That aren't Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line is still good. So they can still put points on the board if the 49ers are learning a new defense and they have a new offensive coordinator as well. So are they having Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance splitting the reps?
Not splitting, but there'll be like packages here and there that Lance comes in to do, possibly. But for the most part, it's Jimmy Garoppolo until he gets hurt or is horrible. And he's not. He wins games. I don't know how much of a new defense they're learning because it's pretty much they just insert their own guy who is underneath the former defensive coordinator, you know, so things don't really skip too much. And it's not Stafford throwing the ball, so I'm not even close to worried about that with Goff as the quarterback.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Which way are you going on this?
I'll take 49ers, but it's not like a lock or anything. Okay. I'm not as sold as you.
Okay.
And they have a lot to like prove to assume they're back to where they were the year before last year when they had all the injuries. It doesn't work that way.
Okay. Next is Arizona, and they're going up into Tennessee, and Tennessee is only favored by 3 points. I mean, Arizona, they do have a lot of weapons. They are better than they were last year. They have to take another step. And what's funny is, like, they're last in their division, but they're very good. It's just the victim of that division. Tennessee is another Super Bowl contender with what they have going on with Henry and now getting Julio Jones in there. So I would take... I would give the 3 points to Arizona, and I will take Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a little rough going for Arizona from West Coast, going cross-country immediately from week one. I would think, it's not as easy on paper when you look at, like, the personnel, but I do think, like, Tennessee will end up winning this game.
Okay.
I think it'll have a lot of points in it. Points total for this game is only 51.5. So yeah, I think these teams can score like in bunches. I think I had some stats on this. Tennessee has gone over in 16 of its last 21 home games. The over is 23-10 in the Titans' last 33 contests. And then we have like Julio Jones playing his first game as well here. So I think I like the over as well. But yeah, I think Tennessee win by three.
Seattle. See, this game, I'd stay away from this game, flat out. Seattle is favored by 2.5 going to Indy. I don't know how Indy is going to be. Obviously, new quarterback coming off the foot surgery. It's a miracle that he'd be playing this week one anyway. Seattle has experience. Boy, oh boy. This is, I picked Seattle to win this outright. So I will, like I said, I'm not jumping up and down on this pick, and I will pick it leery, but I would pick Seattle minus the 2.5.
What's Carson Wentz's status? Barely practicing with the first unit before kickoff of this game. I think that is an issue for me.
Yeah,
like not being able to practice with Wentz. Yeah, I think I take Seattle. I like the under as well. I don't think these teams are going to put up 50 points between the two of them in this game, because Colts' defense is still their main strength, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I like that too. The under 50 is pretty good. The Chargers are going.
It's under 49, but I'm just saying, it's mm-hmm. like they're not going to put up 50.
The Chargers are going into Washington, and the Chargers are favored by 1. I like Washington to win this game. I still think they're thought of as the sad sacks, even though they quote-unquote won their division. And I say that because would they fucking... Was it 9 wins they had? And that won the division?
Last year?
Yes.
Washington.
Yeah, it was.
7-9.
That's even... Yeah, okay. So I was right about there was a 9 and a 7 involved somewhere. Jesus, 7-9, they won the division. That's unbelievable. Bears would have been world beaters over there. So Washington, I will say, wins this outright. And I don't even need that point. I would take Washington.
Yeah, I agree. This is another one. Like, I normally automatically look to fade these teams. It's the team traveling cross country, and that's to play here. What play against Washington, Arizona in the same situation. So yeah, I think I like these home teams here.
Okay. The Jets, this is the revenge game right off the bat. Sam Darnold gets to go against his own team, but he's at home in Carolina. And Carolina is giving 5.5. I'm not thrilled with 5.5. That worries me. I wouldn't play this game. I wouldn't go crazy on this. However, this will be the first one I think I take with the points only. I think Carolina will win. I will take the points with the Jets.
What is it, 5 or 4 now?
5.5 on mine.
Mine just says 5. Yeah, I think I'll take the points. I'll take the Carolina Panthers here to cover this, cover the 5 or the... Or the 5.5, whatever you have it as. Yeah, I think this is a new coach taking over a 2-14 team. I don't know why you're expecting anything more from them.
I mean, I don't think Carolina's some great shakes. I think it's going to be a little bit before Darnold gets that playbook, but at the same time, you're playing the rookie on the other end. Like I said, I think Carolina's going to win, but I could see it be by like a, you know, by 4 points or something like that. It's
Sam Darnold just wanting to beat them bad.
Oh, I get him. Yes. And you know what? I'll be rooting for Carolina because I feel bad for Sam Darnold. Like, I just think he was put in a shitty situation and was shit on a lot by the fans and everybody over there. Jacksonville goes into Houston, who we've said Houston will win probably one game, at the most two games. Tyrod Taylor is not a horrific quarterback. However, Watson is much better than him, and they won four games.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost people now from this. It's a big distraction place. This is going to be a disaster. They at least have a new coach. They had to learn a whole new everything. Jacksonville's no great shakes, but they should be better than Houston. I think this game might... I'm worried about a push because I got 3 points here with Jacksonville giving up. However, I will take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think with the Texans, I don't see where the win comes from this year. I mean, this team are willing to trade their like veteran players for picks and things. So they're having a couple of years off. I think they're planning for the future, and then they'll be good, or they should be good. So I don't think they're going to have. I think in this situation, when it's 3 points, you just pick the team that you think are going to win, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Jacksonville. I think they'll win this game, so I'll just take them to cover as well. Just such few points, and usually a majority of the time, I was saying on the show yesterday, over 75% of the time, I think the team that win, they cover anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be like an underdog, or an underdog's obviously going to cover because they're an underdog. If they win, they've covered. But yeah, it's also a case of. Generally teams that win the game, they cover the spread. It's very rare you see these teams being 6-point favorites and winning by a field goal. It happens, but, you know, 80% of the time it doesn't happen.
So next on the docket here, we have Cleveland going into Kansas City. And this is only Kansas City is giving 6 points to Cleveland. This is one of those where I have in my mind where it's like, oh, the Browns are good and they lose this game, but it's close. And then I also have in my mind a picture of Baker Mayfield looking at the camera with his mouth open like, we got fucked, you know? So it's a very difficult thing. I will pick Kansas City. They're at home. They got to win by a touchdown.
Yeah, but I mean, they haven't been reliable at the end of last season. I don't know like how you read into that. Mahomes is going to be 100% healthy, mm-hmm. isn't he? Obviously.
Oh yeah.
This is the same team that did get themselves there, and even when you had that situation where they went down against, he went down against Cleveland. Was it Mahomes got injured against Cleveland, wasn't it?
God, who did he get hurt against? Where it was the kneecap thing? Is that what you meant? That one?
Yeah.
I don't know who that was. I know he was at the goal line. And he put it back in place and wanted to continue to play. I couldn't tell you who that was against.
No, it was against Cleveland.
Okay.
When Mahomes got injured, it was in the fucking playoffs against Cleveland.
Oh, that one you're talking about. Okay, I'm thinking about when he dislocated his kneecap, like I think it was the year prior.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about what he's coming back
in
terms of the wonderment of whether he's going to be the same player or not.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he played the next week in a Super Bowl and, you know, didn't seem to, it wasn't a mess. I mean, he's running for his life, so, you know, and that was a concussion he had. So I'm not, it's not a, you know, my legs are broken or anything like that. I'd rather his head be broken than his arms. So are you're taking Kansas City easily on here or over the six?
Yeah, not easily. Because I'm high on Cleveland. And the thing is that I even said yesterday on a show later on in the year, I can even see this being a rematch later on in the year, and I can even see Cleveland winning it. Cleveland almost mm-hmm. fucking beat the playoffs.
Yeah, but that was without Mahomes, and it was for a while without Mahomes in that game, and they almost did it, and still almost, and this is with the backup quarterback. So I mean, that was very, very possible that they were going to beat Kansas City because Mahomes wasn't there. Mahomes is another animal. It's the same as, like, if Rodgers is gone. You go, okay, I could beat this team. You know, and then it's like, well, him there is a big, big fucking difference.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Browns lost their games by 5 points. They allowed the Chiefs' offense to move 438 yards without Mahomes playing. But I do think this team will get better. Mm-hmm. And end up winning their division. Obviously, it doesn't start well here. And it's the same principles here attached to this game than I did for the Tampa game. If the last possession falls to the Cleveland Browns, did they have the opportunity to win the game? I think it's more possible in this game than it is for Tampa. I think that's a stronger play. Mm-hmm. It's just a couple more points. But yeah, I think Chiefs at six, they're going to want to start really well after what happened last year. It's not like they got fucked over or anything, or they got anything to be angry about. The Super Bowl wasn't particularly close.
Yeah, they just got beat by the better team, and that was that. Their offensive line was horrible, and that was the big factor. Okay, Miami going into New England. New England is favored, and they are giving 3 points to Miami. I like Miami here. I think with the rookie quarterback for New England, I think it's going to take a little bit. I know they got people back and all that kind of good stuff, but I think Miami will win flat out, and if you're giving me 3 points, I'll take them too.
Is that what the line is? Because I've just looked.
It's three for me, yeah.
Let me see. New England, yeah, three for me too.
Yeah, so I mean, this could be a push, but I'll take Miami with those points.
I'll take New England. I think it'll be a low scoring game. New England will be ahead by more than four, but I think it could be pretty low scoring. It could be something like 17-14, which is a push on that number. It could be spot on.
I agree with the low scoring as well. Green Bay, Billy's team, because he's very close to Wisconsin, just next door. It's Green Bay going into New Orleans. Oh, they're going into Jacksonville by way of New Orleans. I think this makes it even easier because at first I was like, well, it doesn't even matter if it's in New Orleans or not, right? You forget there's a big, big crowd factor in New Orleans, and that is a real thing, and the crowd is back. So they would be pretty loud, and that might help at least. I don't think it would help the win, but I do think it would slow down a factor a little bit. So this is only 4 points. I think the Packers cover this 4 points.
Well, is it even worth asking me? Because
but you're objective. I've found you to be very objective on our preview show. So, I mean, you weren't just sitting there, you know, jerking Rodgers, you know, sideways or anything. But so, I mean, how much do you think they win by in here? Because we were kind of low on the Saints. We still think they'll be second place in that division, but we're not like... Meanwhile, it's probably an upgrade from what Breeze has been lately. But like I said, Breeze's brain factor, I think, is a bigger deal here.
It's very weird they moved this to Jacksonville and only changed the spread by 1 point, as if
that was all, you know, it was. Huh? Well, so it was three otherwise.
Yeah.
Huh.
As if like New Orleans haven't got a major home field advantage. Yeah, I think we should win this game. I think this team have got a little bit weaker, and I think we'll end up winning this game against New Orleans.
Okay. Denver. This is the last Sunday day game here. Before the evening.
With this hurricane, did they have a massive break from playing?
From like practice and everything? I think they moved their facility. That's, okay. Yeah, I think they got out of there. It was pretty brutal of a storm. One of my guys lives there, and he ended up saying, fuck this, and went to Chicago to go watch All Out instead. So he escaped New Orleans. Denver is going into the Giants. And Denver is favored by 3 here.
Awesome.
I picked the Giants to win this game outright. So seeing that, I was like, I mean, listen, both of them, this is a pretty almost even matchup because they're both, you know, not going to be good. But you're doing the whole fly across the country here again. Even though I kind of don't count that when it's the first week because they could be there now. So who cares? You know, it's not, oh, I got to go, you know, I got to hurry up and it's a short week. They could have been there for a week. So very good defense. However, they have no quarterback. There is nobody at quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And not to say Danny Dimes is a good quarterback, but he's better than Locke over there. So I will take the Giants to win outright, but might as well take the points if they're given to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get better odds if you just take them outright
yeah.
on the money line. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because there's a lot of hype around Denver in terms of their win total being moved up. It's the Raiders that are the bottom team in there, and with them being linked to Aaron Rodgers next year, which you described as like the only piece yeah. that they actually need to be good.
That's it.
It's a difficult one. I think that they'll end up not covering this though.
You think Giants will get this?
Yeah, I think it's worth taking the Giants okay. here in this game. They're not as good at home as they are on the road, and that's been consistent for a while.
Yeah,
but I do think they'll win this game.
Sunday night football, NBC. You have the Chicago Bears going into the Andy Dalton led Chicago Bears going into the Los Angeles Rams with Matthew Stafford. So on one hand you go, well, the quarterback knows that other team and this team knows that quarterback. However, there's a lot of other people involved in this game. And this is the Rams are favored by 7.5 points. I will be taking the Rams in this one. I think this is going to be a beating. I think this is going to be a real beating, and this has to do with that offensive line. I want you all to watch the offensive line, and it's going to be one of those, it's just going to crumble. And with Andy Dalton back there, there is nowhere to go. If they had Justin Fields, he's running around at least and kind of, you know, makes something happen because they got to account for him taking off, all that. Andy Dalton is a statue. So it is going to be, let's all pin our ears back and go. And that offensive line is so bad, Billy. They have no left tackle because they drafted one who ended up now getting back surgery. Brand new guy. He needs back surgery. He's out for a while. And so they signed a 39-year-old going to the Hall of Fame, but now he's 39 years old and he's 100 pounds overweight. This is going to be a fucking wreck. So take the Rams, give the points. What do you say?
I think you're very much against your team.
Because I see them. I know them. I'm not delusional. I mean, what, at worst they, I mean, at best they lose by 7?
Well, I still think, I think that it's a like a low scoring game. And sometimes it's like, it's really difficult to take totals in low scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, I'm talking into the wrong phone.
I thought you just turned your head.
No, I'm talking into the wrong phone. So, yeah, I mean, it's the kind of game where you can look at the Rams winning like 24-10, something like that. I don't think Dalton is putting up a lot of points here in this game. And that's my issue. Like, so in terms of the spread, yeah, I don't think Dalton's keeping up. But at the same time, that leads you towards the under. The total here is 46. So the under's a perfect 3-0 in games between McVay and Nagy.
Huh.
And yeah, I think that's not a massively important stat, but it is an interesting thing that just pops up.
Okay. Yeah, I really don't see them like being able to score. I don't know how they're going to score. The offense is really bad. And I think it comes down to the line. They have weapons out there. They won't be able to run because they won't be able to open a hole. So it's going to be like, oh, this running back sucks. But if you know football, you're going to go, well, where's he supposed to go? You're going to Barry Sanders. You're running into a wall. You're running into a wall. Last game, and this is on ESPN. This is Monday. Usually we get like two Monday night games. This is only one. And it is so ball.
It's not for one. When did I go to two?
They had two for the last couple of years. There was always like an earlier game, and then the even, and it was like, oh, great, we get two games on a Monday.
We're getting two for the whole year, so we're starting with one, but then we're getting two.
Does it go to two? Because I'm into. I've written down everything into week six. Am I six? Yes, I'm into week six, and there's still only one game on Monday. I'm into week six, and there's still only one game on Monday. Eventually, you will get we'll get Thursday the whole entire time. So maybe that's what's going on. Back in the day, they didn't do Thursday every single time. Now they're doing Thursday every time. So maybe that's where the Monday happens. Baltimore is giving 4.5 points to Las Vegas, and Vegas is finally going to have people in their stands. Brand new place, the same as the Rams' brand new place. I, however, will be taking Baltimore and giving up the 4.5 points for Vegas. I don't think that's too terribly much.
It's that trip to the West Coast again, but it doesn't bother me. I think this is the type of game.
You're better off going east to west for sure.
I think it's the type of game that they win. And end up looking good, and I think their schedule's pretty hard. So I think there's losses on it that are coming, which is why I think that the Browns can sneak the division. Well, I don't have this as a loss, and if I don't have it as a loss, I will take this small spread, which is well under a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it has come to what is your lock of the week.
It says here, last stat from the last game. It says Ravens have outscored its last four week one opponents by an average of 41-5 with margins of victory at 32, 49, 44, and 20 points. Mm. What does week one opponents by a markable? Oh, okay, so the average score is 41-5. The average score is 41-5. 41-5 on week one.
How could that be? 41-5. Wow.
The average concession of points is 5 points. What?
I don't understand.
The last 4 week one opponents have an average of just 5 points. So does that mean, okay, if one of them scored seven.
They've scored three, they've scored seven. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's pretty good defense. Who are you taking for your lock here?
Hold on, I haven't picked one out.
Okay, I'll go. I'll tell you mine then while you look around.
Oh,
all right. I kind of said earlier what I was going to do, and I was going to say my lock is definitely San Francisco -7.5 points, and it's funny because it's like one of the higher amount of points. And that is a lock for me. I'm going to put my largest wager down on that one for sure. And I think there is a couple for me. I'll give you another one, of course, is the Rams over Chicago. And I like Green Bay giving 4 points to New Orleans. So those are pretty strong. Those are the three strongest, I feel.
Give me those three strongest again.
San Francisco -5.5. Green Bay -4.
I thought San Francisco were giving up more than that.
No, it's only 7.5. It went from 7 to 7.5.
Yeah, 7.5. You just said 5.5.
Did I say 5.5?
Yeah, you said that.
San Francisco 7.5. Green Bay 4. And the Rams -7.5. Those are my favorites.
Oh, this is tough, actually.
I can tell you a teaser that the newspaper said. Would you like to hear? Three picks, 6-point teaser. And it says plus 160 money line. It was the Rams. See, this is they have other points. It says points plus 6, new line minus 1.5 with the Rams. And then it was San Francisco minus 1.5. And then it is giving Arizona over Tennessee plus 9.
Yeah, I think that's a 6-point tease.
Yes.
Sounds like a 6-point tease.
Yeah, that's what it all is. 6 points. Okay, that's what that means. 6 points. Yeah. So you're going 6 points both ways here. So what do you think? Do you think that's a good one? I worry. Well, I mean, the Cardinals, you're not losing by, that's a lot of points to have, 9 points.
Did we talk about the Patriots and Dolphins on this show?
Yeah, we did. We totally talked about them.
What did I pick?
You picked New England. That's one of the few that we're different on, and that was only minus 3.
Yeah.
So we're only different on, I think, 2. Let me see. Yeah, we're different on New York and Carolina, and we're different on Miami and New England.
Yeah, I didn't mark that off as covered. Like, so it's like I'm inserting my picks as we go.
Okay.
This thing that I'm doing, but yeah, I didn't have New Orleans and I didn't have, sorry, New England and the Dolphins done for some reason. I know I'm picking in it, but I just didn't have it done as something we talked about. I'm stalling here for my lock because it's so fucking difficult on week one. Week one, you care too much almost, whereas fuck, I don't want to start badly.
We rolled. We had a real good locks last year. We were
fuck,
hot.
Tomorrow seems to be the one here for me where it's like
for 8.5
or 8 I got, but like, yeah, the 8 points here, it's just, it's week one, it's the Super Bowl winner, they open things up on a Thursday, it doesn't matter because they've had loads of time to prepare for this one game. They looked ridiculous at the end of last year. We don't know, look, it's fucking, is Mike McCarthy going to come in and beat the Super Bowl champions on week one? No. do I have a 75% chance of covering the spread because the teams that win cover spreads? Yes. Are Dallas going to have the last possession of the ball with a chance to win or tie? No.
But I just worry about them being down 14 and scoring 7 with 2 minutes,
I don't think you get that on week one. Like, because also you have to think, like, they're going to be well rested here in terms of they get to play here on the Thursday, so they get nice rest now. They get 9 days instead of 7 days, or is it 10 days? So 10 on fucking hell, what is it? So fucking Friday would be 9, so yeah, it's 10 days off now before they play again as well, so they're not going to be thinking about, oh, let's take the stars off, or let's play soft. They're going to want to look pretty good here. And I think, honestly, Brady's a contender to be the MVP based on the regular season this year, because I think they're going to come in and put up that look.
Nice schedule. If
you're starting with a team here and you're saying they're going to be 15-2 in the season, which is what I have said, and they're starting off at home as Super Bowl champions against a team that I don't think are going to be very good, and they're just laying over a touchdown, and then you come to the point where you have to pick the spread, I don't think you can be umming and ahhing about this shit. I think it's going to be a case of they're much better. Their aspirations for the season are much better. Like, they're fucking the Super Bowl champions, and probably the team that are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl again. Why are you like jumping up and down and scratching your chin and scratching your head thinking about 8 points here? I'm going to take this as a lock.
Okay, that is Billy's lock, and I'll mark it down as 8 points for
one of the
you,
reasons
not
I
8.5 on for you.
One of the reasons I don't like doing it as well is because sometimes people listen to the show and they're like going, oh, I missed the lock. Like, I don't have a lock from you this week because I listened on Friday. And that's why the Thursday locks are always like, you don't get any credit for them because people don't get them.
Yeah.
A lot of the time they don't get them. So yeah, I mean, since, I mean, the start of the season tomorrow, it's going to be a wait. They're not, because all people are like us. Some people are going to be like 11:30 UK time, but it's going to be 5:30 PM tomorrow, and they're going to be like, shit, the season starts today. I've just seen it in the fucking USA Today or whatever. Nah. It's like it's going to creep up on them.
And those are people who are betting, though.
Yeah, I think so. Mm.
I figure if they're if they don't even know that kind of stuff, I don't know if they're gamblers, you know.
No. I think everybody knows, you know, that gambles, that NFL starts this week. Oh, it's on Sunday.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I think this game can creep up on you.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I can't relate because it's my job not to be able to relate. But I think for some people, it can creep up on you and just be like, you know, just there. So that's why I don't particularly love putting out the Thursday lock. I try and do it as little as I can. Monday night football too, but that's for the completely different reasons, because sometimes that game can just be a fuckery. Like there's bad numbers on that in general for a lot of cappers. But yeah, I'm gonna, you know, if you don't listen to it on time, it's your problem. Tampa minus -8.
Yeah, I think they're gonna listen to it because they have all day. They still have a lot of today for some people, but for the most part, in the United States at least, they're gonna be you know, listening to stuff before the game, and you'll see NFL picks out there, and you want to go as late as you can before the picks, you know, to get all your information. So I think we're good. If you want to hear all of our analyzing this and that, it is on this feed. It is also on the Lingus Mafia feed, and that is our NFL preview show for the year. And it is a long, drawn out show where we go over all the statistics to give you the best analysis, and Billy's gracious enough to give us his time to be able to do that. He gives us all the lines, which are very good, that we can't do without him. So that is there for everybody's listening pleasure. You could find all mine.
I'm glad some people value my time.
Let me throw a flag here, Billy. You can find all my nonsense. It's all at Lingus Mafia. There's a Patreon over there with a bunch of goodies on the Godfather tier, which I mentioned in the football show yesterday, and that is patreon.com/LingusMafia. Billy has told you to go to lockbetting.com for your packages for football. You want to get in there as quickly as possible and be able to join his chat group to tell him we need to win this fucking game. That's what he likes to hear. So be sure to be on there and get his winning picks, because this is month 100. It's a pretty fucking big deal. I'll suck you off there, Billy. That's a fucking major... That's some major shit. And you know what? I should take advantage of you more than I do when it comes to gambling stuff. Like, I don't know shit about soccer or tennis. It's one of those, I should just say, who's going to win and put money on it and just fly blind, because you know what you're talking about.
When you get to the 100th month, you can say that forevermore, like whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
Once you get to the 100, it's like, I had 104 or 105 months of profit or whatever. I'm confident I can keep it going a lot longer, but you know, this particular month, you want that 100. So we're well up now. I mean, I don't know how happy people would be if I did this, but I think they'd be very unhappy. But if I turn around and went, I'm not putting out any bets no more. Like, you know, you've already
retired champion.
I'll see you in October. Like the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, you work it out for yourselves.
Yeah. And that way you kind of get a more of a feel too. So, you know, because that first couple weeks of the season is one of the rougher ones to have to get through too. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, sometimes I've in the past overplayed it because you're sometimes trying to ride off the back of preseason, and that's why I don't fucking watch or even bother with the preseason at all, because I don't actually want it to get into my head. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it. For that reason is that I don't want it to influence me at all. And I already like even said stuff where you almost disregarded it immediately, where I said Patriots defense looks really good, and you're like, yeah, oh, it's the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you're the one that watches it.
Yeah, so, I know. And that's why I realize it doesn't count, because it's secondhand guys. That's always the trap we all fall into, because I even have to do it with my team. When I go, look at this fucking Justin Fields, looks fucking good. And I go, he looks good, because he is a natural starter, and he is playing against second stringers. He even said, he goes, it was slower than I thought. And it was like, yeah, because you're playing second fucking stringer. So he looked like a fucking superstar. And that's kind of where you evaluate. But when it's second versus second, you go, okay, well, I can see this guy's better than the other guys. But when it's first against second, then it's a real fucking disaster out there.
So if you guys are listening to this and the Tampa game has already happened, I'm really thinking about people here, like being like Mr. Nice Guy.
It's a rare thing, folks.
Unless they both fucking lose, and I'm being like, then they'll really be angry. But yeah, if my other one, if you're getting this late, is to take the Baltimore Ravens -4.5.
So you go from the earliest game to the latest game.
Yeah, the exact two that I don't like betting on. To the earliest game.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
And the late game, just because I find that the weirdest shit happens on Monday nights. But yeah, I mean, you can't ignore that. Week one opponents, the last four years, I don't think is too far to look at it and go, well, that was fucking years ago. And they were like different fucking players and everything like that. Like that was fucking when Brett Favre was quarterbacking. You can't use Brett Favre to talk about Green Bay's numbers now.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is only 4 years, kind of pretty much a lot of the same stuff. I think when you're looking at the way that they played over that period of time, it's the same players. It's Lamar Jackson for at least, what is it, for three, is he in his third year now or his fourth year now?
I think it's fourth.
So yeah, three of those week ones would have been him. So when you're looking at the margins of victory being 32, 49, 44, 20, it's an average score of 41-5. And of course, like the Raiders, they've got fucking, they've got a massive like makeover here of their team. Like they're looking at trying to do something with their team that pays off eventually, which is not now. So this is a bad game to like start with these new players.
If Rodgers went to Vegas, would you be a Raider guy? That's not a bad team to go to have.
No, I don't follow players. I'm straight. I just follow the teams.
We know about your non-straightness when it comes to Rodgers with his mustache. Don't tell us no lies. All right, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. Go win some money. Billy's on fire. I would go to his website if you are a real hardcore gambler, degenerate, and get these packages because he's very transparent. Unlike a lot of other people out there, to tell you the truth, that just say, oh, we win this and that, and then you go, well, let me see all the numbers. You have track record. They apparently don't have them. Imagine that. Billy actually has transparency, and you could see the wins and losses. There's no hiding behind a loss. When he loses and lets you know. And it is all there for everybody to see. And his Twitter is at SGP Soccer, and mine was at Lingus Mafia. For Mr. Billy Body, I'm Cab Manning. Go win some money.
He could go all